Okay, just double checking here on this issue of the, I'll find it, when I find it, it relates to the non-contributory pensions, the timeline associated with it, whether it's every 2 weeks or $225 a week, but I know it was $225, okay, it's per week. Raise the non-contributory pension from $155 to $225 per week, payable every fortnight. So that's where the confusion comes. So it'd be $225 a week, paid every 2 weeks, okay? That's why, cumulatively then, it amounts to $900 a month. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you going, man?
I'm well, and you?
I'm remarkable.
Oh, Robert, your bombshell. It dropped, yeah?
The bombshell. I put it in the bombshell every day.
You put it down?
Yeah, I said that persons are going to thank Mr. Stewart for having not gone to the IMF.
That's a bombshell.
The amount of people, in my estimation, that will vote for not going would exceed those.
That's a bombshell.
That would be somebody should like to hear yourself and I don't know.
Brief. I can't see that as no bombshell.
I better already don't knock. You know. I called today not to. Somebody come and interfere with you about the station and something and all this.
Yeah.
You don't take time to knock out yourself with a program. How the program is conducted, when I have already endorsed the program and commend you.
Oh, sorry, my apologies.
That what?
My sincere apologies. I really should have remembered that you endorsed the program, and therefore we shouldn't be having to respond to any other criticisms.
Right. So
next time I'm going to refer them to you.
Listen, though. Today is the day. The dressing up, the little trimmings and things. Will be on, and you know, everything is 2 days from now.
You recognize that this election is already won and lost, huh?
It is already won and lost. Okay.
You sense that, or you believe it is still to be won between now and the election day? Because, of course, on election day, you have to get your people out. It is the movement of people to and from the polls that matters, too.
Ma'am, Ms. Ellis, I can't thank you more. Persons come out and vote. That is what it is, you know. Election is like a cricket match. It's on the actual day, you know. Come out and vote.
All right.
The whatever, and you don't come out and vote, then you're going to have a kind of up and down kind of situation. Come out, persons, and your numbers, and vote. So that is what it is. And I'm particularly satisfied. It's only 2 days now. I'm knocking myself out. I've done all my...
You've done all your work already?
All my good work.
You've done all your groundwork already?
Yeah. And I can't wait to speak to Mr. Ellis. I will be speaking to you Thursday night after about 12. By 12 Thursday night, things should come to a heading.
That's
so
true.
I can't wait to speak to you, sir.
So we will discover. We will discover whether we will be in a state of hope or despair.
I'll be in a long euphoria.
We will discover whether we will be in a state of hope or despair.
Look, sir, I want you to have a real good time between now and Thursday, and you'll be careful, sir. Oh, another quick one. I was really hurt with that situation, that accident yesterday, man.
Yeah, that was tragic.
When those things make you cringe, you know, you tell persons, look, I've been an advocate of stop this fast driving. I don't know what happened. Let me very clear. I don't want to shout in your ear. But I don't know what happened there. But I am on the road every second of the day. And persons, health care, and I'm talking about exceedingly fast. When something happens, you don't give yourself no scope for no chance of getting away, you know. You on the road every day, Mr. You see them. People drive too fast, man. They need to stop this fast driving and driving food. You can't tell them. But my emphasis for some months now has been about speed. Because I'm already out of my car, and 18 miles driving at 5,000 miles an hour. And offside, you know. So, persons, do what you have to do as careful as practical and save yourself.
All right.
All the best, sir. Thank you.
Right. Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just calling. I'm the lady that had called before about my two daughters, but that's not the issue right now. People had called to offer help, but my problem wasn't that I wanted the help. Like, I didn't want, food. Copy was, like, want offer food stuff. It's not that I need food stuff. It's just that I wanted the policy changed or looked at. But the reason I called is that I realized that this election funny to me because there's a guy that's running for down St. Peter where I live, right? And I realized he came. He didn't really stay. He just gave me the pamphlet, and then he left, right? And I'm talking about the DLP, right? I thought that he would have come and interacted with me and talked with me and stuff. Then I realized that the next 2 days, the posters were put up, 9 days before the election, down my side. So I realized that posters then were start putting up. It seems funny to me. If you call elections, why you wait so late to start to put up posters and billboards and
you make your own assessment about that. But at the end of it all, you know, it could either be that things came together late, or alternatively is the strategy that you want to influence people believing that the person whom you see last will give you the lasting impression. I remember a former member of parliament, he told me that years ago he was canvassing with the late Sir Grantley Adams. Turn that radio down, there's too much noise in the background there. He was canvassing with the late Sir Grantley Adams, and he was a young politician at the time. And he went in, he was going to a dance. And then he wanted to go to the dance pretty early. He told me that Sir Grantley told him, don't go in too early. You go in about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You go to the dance then. You see, when you put down a rum on the table at that time, they would be half drunk. You see? And by the time they drink that drink, they'll be completely drunk. You know, the next morning when they wake up, what they gonna say? Man, such and such a person, man, give me a drink last night and get me drunk as ever. They're gonna remember the last drink. They don't remember the first drink. So that is the kind of thinking that some people have in politics. So don't get too caught up in why they think. You can make your own judgment call. That isn't for us to analyze here or now in this program. You see it and you work according to how you see it.
But I mean, it's like if you didn't care, it's like you it wasn't like you came and talked. You just come and give me a leaflet. Then when I read the leaflet ain't telling me how you can help change Barbados. Then you had a spot meeting that last.
But ma'am. I'm not here to get involved in that kind of discussion right now, because that discussion is taking me along a path that we said we don't really want to follow. That is to analyze, which party seems to be better positioned for Barbados and that sort of thing. In that way, I don't think that that's where I want to go with this discussion at all. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
This is your friend, the outpatient psychiatric hospital.
Yes.
Now, I really hurt and vexed. You know why I'm vexed? Because you all stay there and give those DLP too much time on the radio. Let them call CBC. That's the station they should be calling.
But I
used to call there sometimes, and every time I call, it cuts me off. They should call CBC. Why they calling the station all the time to air
this station is not a pro-Barbados or a pro-Democratic Labour Party station. It allows both parties to have their say. And, you know, I know that sometimes when you love a political party, anything you hear coming from somebody that is from the other side, you find it difficult to accept as a person. But, you know, that's the way it goes. Let's not waste time with that. Let's deal with what you really called to discuss today. Unless you called to discuss just that. Don't be so offended. We got to be able to tolerate the alternative views that exist in this country, you know. Welcome to the program. What you got to watch is see what happens after the 25th. And how the program either remains constant in the way that it has sounded or how it changes based upon the outcome of the elections on the 25th. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Am I?
You are.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now, the reason I called this program some time ago, and I said that Barbados was once considered the gem of the Caribbean. And but within it, you can be functioning with more stupid people as well. That aside, let me get to the Caribbean Court of Justice situation that is currently being discussed as well. I know you're a pretty brilliant fella. As we speak, there are only about 3 or 4 countries signed on to the CCJ. Mm-hmm. I want to know from you, does that say something to you about the willingness of the other countries who have so far distanced themselves from the CCJ as it in its appellate jurisdiction, in its appellate jurisdiction? If the CCJ is supposed to be the judicial savior of the Caribbean, away from the Privy Council, British Privy Council, why is there such hesitance for the other Caribbean people to sign on? If you're going to talk about Caribbean unity and brotherhood and how all of we is one and a set of garbage, why is it that the people, the most erudite people who are supposed to be our leaders, cannot see the wisdom in signing on to the CCJ? I have a problem with that. Let me pause for your response.
Listen, the Government Information Service of Barbados put out on 28th of February 2018 this particular release. Barbados thinks it is unacceptable that to date only 4 CARICOM member states have the Caribbean Court of Justice as their appellate jurisdiction. Prime Minister Frondell Stewart made this clear on Tuesday as he spoke with the Barbados Government Information Service as the 29th intersessional meeting of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community came to a close in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Mr. Stewart stated, "We contend that it is a disgrace that after the Caribbean Court of Justice has been in existence for so long, that only 4 countries have signed on to that court in its appellate jurisdiction. I do not buy the argument that there is a division of opinion in the countries that have not signed on to the court in its appellate jurisdiction, because the biggest decision that CARICOM countries have had to make has been on independence. If we've all decided that we want to be independent, and we were able to unite the population on those issues, I cannot see why on matters relating to how our disputes are handled and how our grievances are addressed, that we still believe that the former colonial master is better than the people here in the Caribbean." That was the Prime Minister of Barbados speaking in February.
Right. David, I'm appalled. Really, I'm even embarrassed. In a predominantly black country, where education was, a lot of money was spent on educating us, the products, if you like, of former slaves in a slave country. Boasting about how intelligent we are and how much education there is swirling around our heads, that we can't find erudite people enough, even one, to sit on a panel of judges on that same Caribbean Court of Justice. We can't find one. Of all the erudite people we have, learned people that we have in this Barbados, that boasts.
Look, the Caribbean Court of Justice has a panel that chooses its judges. They go through a rigorous process, as I understand it, in selecting people to sit there. I don't know that every country that is a member of the Caribbean Court of Justice, because don't forget, it also has an original jurisdiction that looks after the Treaty of Chagaramas. And it is not all about the appellate court function. But I don't know that everybody will be able to get a seat at the table. prior to this discussion about Barbados that you have raised, why is it that a Barbadian is not a judge? I've also heard in the past a discussion about why is it that there's no Indian on the court. I believe that has changed recently. But you can always find something there. The critical issue here is this. The Caribbean Court of Justice has given decisions since it came into being. When you ask people who are involved in the process what are their views about the decisions which have been reached, what is the character and assessment of the character of the Caribbean Court of Justice in its decision making? Is it seen as a court that has done the right thing? Or in general terms, do we feel disgraced by the decisions of the court? Even the Prime Minister in his comments said that he wasn't being critical of the decisions. Well, that's left to be seen, because what he put on the table as the reason we don't have enough information on that. All we got to go on is the decisions that the court has made. But what do you pick up? That the court is a court that we should be embarrassed by its decisions?
As we speak, to my mind, yes.
Why so?
Right. Someone said earlier about the $200 million that was given to the Caribbean Court to establish its thing.
The integrity question, because if you're not careful, you can stray into defamation if you're not, and you're going towards the highest court in the Caribbean. So please. I asked you one question, and that question has to do with the decisions of the court. But if you tell me that in your judgment, the decisions of the court can be questioned, then you need to be more specific.
Well, I would not be presumptuous.
The Caribbean Court of Justice has wrapped Barbados for, and some Barbadians are offended by that.
I would not be presumptuous just to make a decision not having access to evidence.
Well, therefore, don't say yes, then. If you
say again?
Then you can't say yes to the question I put to you, because you
but
don't
no,
have enough.
Of course not. That's why I'm responding like this, because I cannot say yes to it.
Right,
and
fine.
It's not a fair question to put to me.
Fine.
I can only say it to you as a citizen of Barbados, mm-hmm. where some people like Mr. Comichong this morning are going to question the wisdom of the Prime Minister to leave. Is when they have a problem with that.
But how can you just leave so? We went through a long process. How can you leave so?
Leave, what do you mean?
How you can just pull out just like that? Don't you think isn't that a matter that is so significant that it would require consultation with key...
But there was consultation before we went in?
Yes.
Was there consultation before we went in?
But of course.
With the people of Barbados.
Even the opposition leader of the day did not oppose that.
There was a referendum? That who some countries would have done things.
There wasn't a referendum, but there was discussion.
Huh?
This is discussion
among a few people that.
But isn't this
the site you should
all right?
Go.
Fair enough. Let's accept that. But
right.
Let me ask you something. One man waking up a morning and telling the country that he has determined that we should pull out is better than that.
Well, as he said, let me respond to that in this way. As I said to you, there was no consultation of any significance before we went in. With this Studio Chagrammas addressed that. And then some Prime Minister get from somewhere and went and sign on to that we have followed blindly, like sheep.
In all fairness, let me ask you, in your judgment, I mean, in this case, the Prime Minister says if they win. So he has now made this kind of a referendum on the question of staying in the CCJ. But it opens the door to any prime minister in the region waking up a morning and saying, listen, I have pulled out. I'm pulling out.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with talking to the Bar Association, talking to the public, talking to your own party. You can just wake up one morning and say, I done. I'm waiting for no election result to determine whether I do it or not. I am just finished with it. In your judgment, is that considered the appropriate way for us to do business in the Caribbean? But listen, it has that has implications right across the board for so many institutions that we belong to.
People go around the country, sorry to interrupt you again, but people go around the country blaming prime ministers for everything. Every bloody thing they go around blaming prime ministers for. He's responsible or she's responsible for this or that or the other. That means, if, for instance, like, let's look, step back at the the Federation. Mm-hmm. There was a kind of unilateralism as far as that was concerned, too. When they were debating whether to put headquarters, it couldn't be put in Barbados because it was smaller in a country, and it couldn't be put in, and Grant Adams responding, you can't put him in Jamaica because they can't read nor write. And Adams said, one from 10, isn't nothing, they're gone. Huh? So what, where are we going with this? That all of a sudden, a prime minister now, all of a sudden cannot say, well, no, we're not going to be part of this. Well, there was no referendum where people going to raise up and say, no, we still want to stay here.
Look, there's the other dimension to this that you need to look at, though. And it has to do with people's concern about political interference in the judiciary. And if you set up your own court or set out to do that, don't you anticipate that you're going to raise a red flag about how this process is going to work when it comes to political interference?
I don't somehow get run screaming about political interference. I think justice must not be done, but seem to be done. You know, I have some confidence in the justice system in Barbados.
It is not the justice system that we worry about. It is about the politicians and how they can stretch.
But the whole idea is that politicians, it does not change the fact that because you sit on a panel of judges that you cannot be so tainted with politics as well. There's nothing to guarantee that some person will have a political agenda elsewhere.
So people, you asked me earlier about the concern of other Caribbean countries. One of the arguments that I have heard over the years about the CCJ has been exactly this one, where they are saying that once the people are from within the Caribbean, your judges are from within the Caribbean, they are within reach of politicians who can influence their decisions, even though they may be in Trinidad or Guyana or might come from other Caribbean countries. If that is their argument and that has kept some of them away, don't you believe that it is even more forceful when you decide that you're going to set up your own court or imply that you're going to set up your own final court of appeal, where in the context of a country like Barbados,
the Prime Minister
is the person who has the influence to appoint who will and will not sit on that court.
You are casting some serious aspersions on the integrity of everybody who sits to my mind, that argument is interpreting. Nobody can
trust. No, but you asked me just now, why is that people have stayed away from the CCJ? I'm telling you that that's one of the reasons that has been advanced.
Well, and perhaps...
And now you are telling me at the regional level, you are prepared to support setting up a domestic court with all that implies?
I fairly believe that there's nothing wrong with that. I think maintain that we can find, learn, and honest people around here who can make a judgment based
fair
on...
Fair enough. And let me tell you something. And let me tell you something else. Already, we are having so many difficulties with the backlog of cases and the sloth of justice in our existing court system. We are adding to that too. That's the other question.
I believe if we can appoint some more judges,
all right,
and demand of them a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, I believe we can get rid of some of these cases.
All right, sir. We
and
gotta
stop
go.
Stop mocking around.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
And thanks for engaging us on the subject. Thanks. Somebody just says here the PM never said he was leaving willy-nilly or without consensus. That is leaving the CCJ. Down to Brass Axe, you on the air? Welcome
Hi.
To the program. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Yes, sir.
I come in here to put my 2 cents worth on the CCJ.
Yeah.
But before I say that, there's a saying that who will guard the guard? Now, why I'm saying that is because previously we went to England for our court of appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we as the Caribbean people think, not only Barbados, we think that our little small island, sometimes I think that we think that we can go out and do it alone. And this is the thing that have been boring us for all the years since Federation. And that's why we are always finding ourselves at the crossroads. I want to bring a different view here with this CCJ statement that the Prime Minister talked about. Now, I am asking the question, now, if we find ourselves pulling out of the CCJ, what does that tell our investors and the people who is coming to Barbados? Are we telling them that they have not a chance if we set up our own system? They have no other chance to go to another court, which is the CCJ, to have a decision made on a particular legal matter. That is a very serious thing that we have to look at, because we just only can't look at us as individuals in this country. We can't look at it in a political bias and in a political sense. We have to look at it on the whole. How will it affect us? How will it affect our investors who want to come to Barbados? How will it affect us as citizens who sometimes feel that our system, that we've been wrong and that we have another court of appeal? I think we have to be very serious about this one and look at it carefully before we start flying all kind of talk. Sometimes it amazes me how people can come to the program and have this idea that Barbados is so... I think a lot of these people in Barbados do not travel. Some of them that talk do not travel. They do not see other places that function. Some of them don't even know what's going on next door in the countries that are neighbor to us and how their developments are going. They just listen for people to come and just brainwash them. But I think this is just my point this morning. I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Well, I think you raise a very interesting point about the extent to which a decision of that nature also has implications for business confidence. I mean, who in Barbados would feel safer if we went in that direction? I don't think that there's anybody in Barbados would feel that way. In other words, put it this way. If the Democratic Labour Party were to retain power, people who don't support the Barbados Labour Party would question what kind of justice you are likely to get if they set up their own court in this way as a final court. Given enough time, a change of government would create an environment where people who are Dems would start to worry about what kind of decisions they would get under a BLP administration. I just don't see that as feasible right now. I just think
that is so true what you just said.
You could feel that would happen exactly that way in this country. And then what would you do for confidence, business confidence, which you've raised? But then there is that other element of confidence in the judiciary and the process and that sort of thing.
Of course.
I don't think that was thought about, that's part of the discussion.
This is, to my mind, this is not a BLP or DLP thing. We got to get past this nonsense. We have to get past this nonsense in our country. We have to look at the things that will make us better. The things that we, the things that will make us come together through the political biasness and look at the true meaning of what it would do to us as a people.
I think the real concern here is if you believe that we are getting a bad break, then let us address the issues that are causing us to get that bad break. If we have a system that is too slow, then we look at it. If we're losing too many cases, then you look at representation. You got to look at it that way. I mean, I don't think that In all fairness, you can talk about throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Forgive me. But I worked in another Caribbean country in previous years. I have been weaned on a program in this country that has said to us, we belong to the Caribbean community. Go to the right fet and let them start playing reggae or dub or calypso or soca and let them open up the bar and start to serve the food. And as long as they got roti and they got rice and stew, and even from people like me, they can bring dukuna from up in the north, or they can bring pepper pot from Guyana. You know, we all move to the same rhythm. We eat the same food. We got the same taste. We know we are one. But, you know, there are too many occasions when other people are trying to stop us from being one for what are seen as very narrow reasons. And this is something that we just can't escape.